would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to the show, St. John Forward Radio, every Monday night on local FM, 9 to 10 o'clock, right out the gate. I'm going to remind everybody that it's Fun Drive week here at local FM. We're looking for some money to keep the wheels turning. This is a small community-run radio station, and they put up with my nonsense, so if you want to keep supporting that, and if you enjoy this show or others, you can send us some money. We've got some pitches here that I can use. You are tuned into a listener-supported community radio. That means we rely on each of you to provide us with the means to keep this radio station going for the enjoyment of our programmers and our community. We depend on our listeners so that we don't have to rely on a lot of advertising like our commercial radio counterparts, he said with disdain. If you support this radio station, what this radio station does in the community, for the community, please show it. Give us a call, 506-648-5925. You can always drop by the station with some cash or a check made out to Local 107.3 FM. They take credit card and PayPal stuff. You can go online at localfm.ca/donate, or you can send an e-transfer to info@cfmh.ca. And there are pledges, like depending on how much you give, you get some bonus prizes. I'll talk a bit about those later on in the show. But big news in St. John this week. I'm way behind the ball on this because last week's show was also pre-recorded on a Friday, so I couldn't talk about the news last Monday. After 19 months, the local Yuck Yucks Club closed its doors permanently. At least that's what the news says, and not gonna gloat about it. No, but I don't think anybody's happy about it. It's I've had my difficulties with the organization that have been discussed ad nauseum on this radio show, but things were starting to come around. I was finally kind of working my way back into the good graces. Too little, too late, I guess. But even aside from my own selfish needs, it's still a bummer for the city. That was a professional comedy club in town that had shows three nights a week, plus the amateur night and all the other kind of one-off things that were going on. And again, I didn't take advantage of that as much as I could have. For a while, I wasn't able to, and then since January, I was kind of touchy about it, but, you know, the last time I was there, I actually felt comfortable for a change, and I was planning on making it a more regular thing, just to pop in there. Hopefully it would lead to more stuff, but even if it was just the stage time, that would have been nice. So it's kind of a bummer that that's shut down, and you know, it's going to be I don't know how it's going to play out for the rest of comedy in the city. Ideally, it would all those people are still hungry for comedy, and they'll go and take what they can get in the other options. I've got my shows, the No Jokes Bard shows, twice a month at O'Leary's in the R Bar. Shane Ogden's been putting on shows at Chuckles for a while. He's actually there this weekend, and my guest is from the Chuckles this weekend, but we'll talk to him later when he's allowed to speak. Hopefully some of those people go out to that, and there's McGill's every 2 weeks on a Sunday, and I don't know, it would have been a nice gesture if maybe along with the we're shutting down announcement like, hey, don't worry, people, there's still comedy that you can see, but, you know, they've got no reason to promote anybody else. It would have been a nice gesture. I'm not holding my breath for it, though. You know, there's still stuff going on, and I guess we all need to work harder to capture the rats fleeing from the ship. I'm talking about the audience, of course, because they were a good audience every time that I've been there, and I think Shane and Chuckles probably took the biggest hit from having Yuck Yucks, because it's a similar kind of show. My things are different. I just run these small local shows, but one row of Yuck Yucks people would make for a pretty banging show at the R Bar or O'Leary's. Arif Hussein and I went to see Jerry Seinfeld a couple of weeks ago, and like one small, like 1% of that audience at my little rinky-dink operations would be a great show. So we just got to keep plugging away and maybe step up our game so that we've got at this point, I don't know if the lack of audience is because of lack of quality or awareness, or I don't know. I think a big part of it is, you know, people like the brand name, the Yuck Yucks thing. That's kind of the default. I know, just out in the real world, whenever somebody finds out that I'm a comedian, it's always, oh, you must be at the Yuck Yucks. And I had to say no for a long time, and that automatically means that I suck in their heads. Yeah, hopefully we can capture that, but it's going to be a struggle. I don't expect anything to be handed to us, but we've got an opportunity to kind of gobble up some of that market share, and hopefully it doesn't all go away. Not off to a great start. I had a show at Callie's Pub on Thursday night, and audience of three. And those three people enjoyed the heck out of it, and we had a fun time. Me and Brian Giles and Brian Godso and Adam Landry. Those three people enjoyed themselves. So, and you know, I got to run the set. I did an hour headline set just to get it out there. It's coming together. I think it went well. It's obviously going to need some work and hopefully some more audiences, but it's a good start towards. I want to do the Fringe Festival again this summer if I get in, and instead of my sad tales of childhood trauma, attempt to do an actual comedy show this time. So that's a good start, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. Again, I wish there was more people out to see it, but it is what it is. It's a Thursday night, and I'm negative $30 on that one, which I can take the hit. That's fine. I'm a little disappointed. Before the show on Friday, I had the afternoon off, and I kind of walked around uptown and didn't see a single one of the posters that I had put up anywhere. I don't know if mine were specifically targeted or if somebody just went on a rampage. I know there's some old lady in town that is known for just going on a big tear. I don't know, but that's kind of a bummer. So lots of interest on Facebook, though. I don't know where those 40 interested parties were on Thursday night, but that's what it is. I don't feel too bad about it because last night on Friday, I went down to the Five and Dime and saw Jason Rouse perform for 10 people. So if Jason Rouse can get 10 on a Friday night, John Forward getting 3 on a Thursday, that's not a bad ratio. Eight more people that walked within the first 10 minutes. There was a table of six ladies, which included the HR lady that I had the conversation with last summer, but she didn't like me talking about work on the podcast, so I'm glad that her night was ruined. I guess they were just there, and they said, hey, there's a comedy show going on, and collected their $10, and they were refunded because they were starting to make a scene about this disgusting display that they had to witness. But it was a fun show. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I sat with No Jokes Barred superfan Charles Freeze Melvin. About a quarter of the show was Jason Rouse doing crowd work and talking to him. I'd never seen him before, and I kind of wanted to experience it. I've seen him, I've saw some YouTube clips that I didn't love. you know, I don't have anything against offensive comedy. I have some of my own, but I don't like the kind of, hey, look how edgy I am kind of thing. And it wasn't really that. It was dirty, but I don't know. It might have been restrained because it was at the Five and Dime for 10 people. But anyway, I liked what I saw. It was a good time. I'm going to Chuckles tonight to see Elliot Chang and Matt Richardson and my guest, Andrew Vaughn from Halifax. How
are
you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Well, I'm in rough shape. Told you. Had a little bit of barfing this morning. I got my broke some blood vessels around my eyes, so that happens every time that I throw.
I like you said that, you know, it happens every time. I can't remember the last time I threw up.
I don't remember the last time. I'm not usually a big drinker, but I overindulged last night.
Oh, yeah.
And, this morning. I think I had a mini barf at about 6:30 a.m. and then went back to bed and got up again. I had to meet my sister for breakfast at 10. Got in the shower and didn't even have time to dry myself off. I had to lunge right for the toilet.
Oh, God.
Get the rest of
it. That's
out.
a weird moment where you have to decide what you want to do.
Yeah, so I had a wet barf.
And,
anyway, if you guys want to pledge money for more great content like this,
maybe we could fix John's problem.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to donate all of your sick money to. I'll give it to the station, but they've got some stuff. What do we get for bonus prizes? Where is that? Okay, here's the combos. If you pledge $10. You're one of Local FM's new recruits. You get a physical Live from Local FM EP or a mug and a copy of Distortion. It's a independent paper. $20, Local FM starter pack. You get a mug and the CD and the Distortion paper. Local FM awesome foursome, $30. You get a fanny pack, a mug, physical Live from Local FM EP and Distortion, and then the $50 fanny pack, mug, CD, Distortion, assorted pins, wallet stickers, lanyards, 2 random vinyl records, 5 random CDs, and a Local FM shirt. That's worth $50. I gave $50 last year and enjoyed the swag. I'll probably throw it in anyway, even though I'm providing my slave labor here. But anyway, let's continue on with the show. Let's take a break. I'm going to play a song. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of this artist. I think it's Uringer, Euringer. It's a side project from Jimmy Urin from Mindless Self Indulgence. Made me think of Jason Rouse. It's called Do You Kiss Your Mama With That Mouth on St. John Forward Radio.
This song is about anybody, unless I wrote it specifically about you, in which case it's just for you. People say I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they can go fuck themselves, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, let's do this. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Sometimes it's the alcohol that's talking through me, but most of the time, this is how I felt. No excuses for the things that I say. It's nobody's fault because I'm doing it by myself. You're offended by what is said. Choking on the words I should have read. The number one question on everyone's lips is, hey motherfucker, do you kiss your mama with that mouth? Yes, I kiss your mama with this mouth. Yes, mouth. Yes, I kiss it, I kiss it, I kiss it. Yes, Shakespeare's bullshit, he was a fraud. He stole all his shit from the Greeks and Francis Bacon. I'm not looking for any applause, I just wanna get my fucking point across. The things that I say may not be right, but after I say them, I sleep like a baby at night. The only question on everyone's lips is, hey motherfucker, do you kiss your mama with that mouth? Yes, I kiss your mama with this mouth. Yes, I kiss your mama with this mouth. Yes, I kiss it, I kiss it, I kiss it. Yes, a whore? You never know what life has in store. A moment of glory, little dying worms. Children should be seen, not heard. All my life misunderstood. I'm fucking too smart for my own good. The last question before I go is, hey motherfucker, do you kiss your mama with that mouth? Yes!
Fucking around.
Back on St. John Forward Radio here with Andrew Vaughn. What do you think about the Yuck Yuck situation?
I think it's not good. Like, it's sad that it happened. I feel like you guys, I feel bad for your guys' scene and everything like that. Like, I mean, you guys now have to kind of like pick up the pieces and kind of go from there, and hopefully it's not too detrimental. Like, you guys don't think it's too much of a burden. I think that ultimately I just, my sympathy goes out to Steve, and I can't imagine what he's going through. Losing a business is never fun, but my sympathy also goes out to you guys. And then there's a couple people that I'm just kind of like, I don't know, I have some weird mixed feelings. I'm very sad the club's gone, but part of me is like, well, I want to know more why it's gone, but it's really not my place to ask.
There's not a lot of comment about it, but you know, the media end of it is all like, this completely took everybody by shock. I'm not happy it happened, but I'm not entirely surprised.
It's a
small market for 3 shows a week, and that's a pretty swank place. It's probably got expensive rent and whatever the Yuck Yucks franchise cut is. You know, they canceled like the Thursdays all summer, and even I was supposed to do a guest spot on the Thursday for Darren Frost on the last weekend, but they canceled that in the morning. And like the last time that I did the guest spot, when Cedric Newman was in town, that was the last weekend for the condo that was being downgraded. So it's not like there's no evidence.
Yeah, I know. There were things you could definitely see coming, like stuff like that was obvious. You see them canceling shows. And it's weird, though, because they have canceled Thursday night quite a few times throughout their existence, I found.
Yeah.
And I've done that club a bunch of times. I was lucky to never have a Thursday night canceled, like when I was there. Yeah. Last time I was up, it was packed on Thursday because they had a fundraiser and everything. And Steve seemed really like, excited. Things were going to start ramping up again. And then it was just like, done a little under a month later. So it's just, we all sort of saw things coming, but it's never good to have the club closed, so.
No, but if St. John's Newfoundland is bigger than St. John, New Brunswick, and that one closed, that wasn't in a great location.
Yeah, I think when you have a club in this small of an area, it's like your biggest chance for anybody is aggressive marketing.
Yeah.
You see Shane and Julie do that a lot with Chuckles. It's like, I know when I would be up here to do Yuck Yucks, and I don't want anyone to take this as a knock on Yuck Yucks, but we would go for a walk and go get something to eat, me and the comics, and every 5 feet we'd see so-and-so at Chuckles Comedy Club, another 5 feet, so-and-so at Chuckles Comedy Club, and we didn't see one.
He probably does radio stuff, but
which is more than
to that.
But I just think you have to nail any little aspect in such a small area. You have to hit as much as you possibly can.
I noticed for the last 6 months or so, driving around, he's got little like almost like the election, like he's got those all over town. And like, I noticed last time I was there, it was on a Saturday, and he couldn't like hang out because he had to go drive around and pick up his signs off the roads. But those were visible. But I don't know. We can all theorize. Like, and you know, Darren Frost made a post about like it. When I saw his post, it sounded like he saw like people like gloating and being proud that it shut down. I didn't see any of that.
No, I don't think he did. I think he's just used to seeing that as kind of a reaction to these clubs closing because he's been around long enough. Like, I think it was just like a preemptive strike type of thing.
Yeah, and like behind the scenes, like in our little group chats, there's a couple of people that were like, "Yeah, F that guy," but. You know, that's, I don't know, there's no, this isn't a good thing for anybody.
No.
And, you know, yeah, Darren also kind of said, you know, there's a lot of people that could have done more to keep it open, and I don't know if that was a shot at the comedians. Like, I don't know if that would have made a difference. Like, I tried to be supportive when they first opened, and then I kind of got burned and went the other way for a bit, but when my grievances were addressed, I had nothing to be upset about anymore. And but I'm not going to go out and break out the pom poms.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to read too much into someone's state. Yeah. You know what I mean. Like, I don't necessarily. I agree with them. I think there are things that people could have done to support the club. I don't think I will. Officially, I don't think that means comics coming out to the shows or promoting the shows.
Yeah.
I have my own ideas about certain people and how they interacted with that club and things I've heard and rumors, and they're just rumors, so they're just, you know, my own thoughts in my own head. So I would have that same sentiment that he has, but I don't know if we're talking about the same thing.
Regardless of what his intentions were, I started thinking about it, like, well, what could have been done? Like, but we don't really know enough about what the problem is, and I don't think the locals kind of pimping it out would have made that much of a difference, because we have a hard time getting people to come to our own shows, so it's not like we're marketing geniuses and we misused our powers or anything.
So
I don't know what's gonna happen. There's things that we can theorize about. I don't know if it was an effect or not, but you know, if they did kind of get into a rut of, at least for the middle people, they were bringing in a lot of the same people over and over and over again. And some of those people don't have a deep well of material, so they were repeating themselves. I don't know if that's something that, I don't know if anybody cares about the openers, to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a portion of the audience that would see those same kind of guys, especially like I know that when I was there once every 3 to 4 months or so, but I would always try to make sure that I could bring as much new stuff that I've been working on as possible, so that if people, and I always took pride in the fact that people would come out and be like, "Oh, I've seen you before," but a lot of that was different. You know, it's just for them, really. Like, I don't want them. But I remember having a conversation with Steve where I said, "You know, you're getting a lot of the same hosts and the same middles, not always necessarily the same headliner, sometimes, but not as often as the other two spots."
Yeah.
And I was like, your strength should just be marketing the headliners, ignoring everybody else that's on the show.
Yeah.
So get them in with the ticket based on, oh, I want to see this guy. He hasn't been here before. And yeah, they got to sit through two other comics that they might have heard before, but at least they bought the ticket specifically to come see that comic, right?
Like, yeah, but I would be bummed out if I went and had to sit through the exact same 25-minute set that I heard a month ago if I was going regularly.
Yeah.
But again, who knows?
But that's less to do with Steve and more to do with how the system is set up across the country. It's like, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I always wondered about, like, well, you've talked about kind of in Halifax, you kind of work your way up, you do the guest spots, and then once you're doing well at that, then, you know, eventually you get the promotion. I'm not sure that anybody was getting reports back to head office as to who was doing what on those guest spots.
Yeah, I mean,
because it didn't seem to go anywhere. Like, the only St. John comic aside from James Mullinger that ever got any weekend spots was Matt Keenan, and that was because he got Mullinger emailed somebody and said, "Hey, put this guy on."
Yeah.
But like, he's not the only one that was doing well on when he had a chance. I did well on my guest spots, and there's other people that have too. And those Matt Keenan was putting on those Tuesday showcase shows, and lots of those were good shows. But it didn't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah, and again, like, I know in Halifax, I know specifically who writes the reports. Like, and I've seen what several reports look like. I'm assuming it was Steve's job to send reports as well, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, Steve's also doing a lot of other things for that club at the time. Yeah. Maybe the reports weren't the top priority, but I do know that anytime there was a local doing a guest spot, whether it was a show I was on or a weekend before, if I asked about it, he never had anything but positive things to say about Locals guest spots. Like, just always like, oh yeah, did great. Love to have them back. Like, you know,
yeah.
So I don't know if maybe there were no reports coming or but I do know he definitely never said anything bad to any of the comics about any of the Locals doing guest spots.
No, I've never heard anything like that too, but it just seemed like, you know, this is our chance to kind of audition for our big chance, and it didn't feel like stage time is stage time, and we still had fun doing the spots, but it didn't seem like it was kind of to any greater purpose.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the success of the club, but that's, you know, that's another reason why it's just harder to, you know, convince the Locals to, you know, bust out the pom-poms.
Yeah,
I don't know. It rubbed a lot of us the wrong way when they had the soft opening, and none of us even knew about it until we saw the pictures on Facebook the next day. That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, but there's there's going to be jealousy on all fronts. I remember when they had the showcases there, like for the Just for Laughs and stuff that. There were people that were on those showcases that I'm not going to say shouldn't, but I was one of those people that was very bitter about who got that New Brunswick showcase. I was looking at the list of people. I'm like, I've worked harder than them. I put in more time than them. But just because I didn't sign a contract, I can't come up with the rest of them and do a spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are people on that list like fired from the company and rehired back, but I've never been a problem with them, and I can't get a spot. Like, I mean, it's all that sort of
stuff.
With
the soft opening, it's not so much getting the stage time, but it would have been a nice gesture to be like, hey, this is our club. Come and hang out and, be a part of the opening.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that you just chalk up to the fact, read the articles, in interviews about the club, and, you know, Steve always said, I went to a comedy club in Toronto, and I was like, oh, I want to bring this to the St. John. Like, he's doesn't – what – not savvy about comedy and not savvy about how the business works or the scenes and stuff that.
And I think when it opened up was right in the middle of the high level comedy beefs and the thing with Mark Burnett, and Burnett was kind of in on it, and he had everybody blacklisted, so that was unfortunate timing, and that was part of the situation. If you weren't on Team Burnett, you weren't really in with Yuck Yucks
either. Yeah.
but it's all in the past, and hopefully we'll see what happened. How was the attendance last night at Chuckles?
I was good. I would say it was almost 60% full.
Yeah,
in fact, they were a good crowd. Yeah, they were they weren't rowdy until Elliot was on, and it was really just one guy, and he was when I was hosting, and I don't know why he sat there. He was at the VIP table having a good time, and then all of a sudden I said something and he just went woo and threw his hand up, and I'm like, okay, good for you, buddy. And then he just kept doing it every 2 seconds, woo. And I'm like, okay.
It was soliciting high fives.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what you're trying. Like, I'd be like, is this your wife? Woo! And I'm like, all right, so you're not even going to, interact with me. And then he kind of didn't do it the rest of the show. I was like, okay, so I'm the host. That's fine, right? He didn't interrupt John. He didn't interrupt Matt. And then, halfway through Elliot, he just started, woo, woo, woo. And then a big dialogue. And, Elliot was really good about it because Elliot was like, no, don't kick him out yet, because I'm going to say a lot of mean things about him. I want him to be here to hear it. stuff like that. So, but they were great other than that. It was one guy.
I'm going to come check it out tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's a good crowd tonight. I was worried about, I always have fun on Friday nights at Chuck because I think they're the better night.
But, yeah, that's when I usually go, but I wanted to see Rose.
Yeah. And I'm worried too, to where tonight's I don't expect this to affect the crowd, but it is a typical go out and party for Halloween night for adults.
Yeah.
And I'm just is that going to hurt attendance? Are we going to get someone who's really, really, really drunk? I almost cursed. Really drunk and just making a problem or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've told me they don't mind if the occasional swear word comes out. I got spoken to once when Tyson Arto was on the show and he was dropping F-bombs left and right.
I used to see HSR in Fredericton, so now I'm just trying to flood all this back in my head, being like, don't curse, don't this.
Yeah, the rules aren't really set in stone. I will, if I choose my words, I limit the F-bombs, but if it's, it depends on, when it's needed.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's take a musical break.
Sure.
Do you want to tell us about the song that you've selected
for us? Yeah, I think I was in an Arby's and you said, what song do you want to listen to? And I was driving listening to MF Doom. I've just been around for a long time, but I just recently started to get into him.
Yeah.
I think he's a great rapper and it's rhymes like dimes. And I just think it's a fun song to listen to.
All right, and we'll have a message about the fun drive that I'll edit into this thing later, and then some MF Doom, and we'll be back.
Hey, yo, yo, y'all can't...
Wait, I got to promote the thing. I forgot. It's the fun drive. I thought you were going to make sound effects for me. So, or wait, hold on. Hold on, let's get another script out.
Okay.
All right. Even though our programming is done by volunteers, there are lots of costs involved in running a radio station.
Too much.
We continually have to repair and replace equipment to keep our CD players playing and our turntables turning and our Spotify's spotting. And so 648-5925, this show's pre-recorded. I'm not going to be here to pick up the phone, but leave a message and say, I love St. John Forward Radio.
John Forward may match every donation that you make. Might.
Maybe.
I don't know. We're trying to pressure him into it on the radio.
Yeah, I'll make a donation. If, you know what? I don't want to promise anything. I will be donating. I don't know if how rich my fans are. I don't know if we can match it or not. But, yeah, so you can drop off cash, check. You can go online, localfm.ca/donate, all that fun stuff.
Did you know that every $1 invested in the arts yields $7 for the local economy? This return includes Community Radio, which invests over $100,000 in St. John. Give your favorite DJ a call at 648-5925 or donate online at localfm.ca/donate to pledge to Local 107.3 FM during our funding drive.
Hey, yo, yo, y'all can't stand right here. In his right hand was your man's worst nightmare. Loud enough to burst his right eardrum close range. The game is not only dangerous, but it's most strange. I sell rhymes like dimes. The one who mostly keep cash, but brag about the broker time. Joker rhymes like the issue just having to see me trick. Classical slapstick, rappers need chapstick. A lot of them sound like they're in a talent show, so I give them something to remember like the Alamo. Tally-ho, a hot joker like Space Game. Came back from 5 years lane and stayed the same set. Electromagnetic feeling blocks all logic. Spock and G-Shock's a biological clock. When I hit it, slid it to the shit, I thought I killed a goose. Her power use was pure brittle water filter juice. Keep a pen like a fiend, keep a pipe with him. Gentleman who lent a pen to a friend who write with him. Never seen this shit again, but he's still my dunny. The only thing that come between us is krillin' money. I sell rhymes like dimes. The one who mostly keep cash will brag about the broker times. Better rhymes make for better songs, and bad is not if you got a lot of what it takes just to get along. Surrender now, suffer serious setbacks. Got get back, connects, wet back, get stacks. Even if you got to get jet black, head to toe to get the dough, battle for bottles of moat or dro. This fly flow, take practice like Tybo with Billy Blanks. Oh, you're too kind, really thanks. To the corner lost forever like, oh my darling Clementine. He hold his heart when he telling rhyme. When it's his time, I hope his soul go to hell. He nasty like the old time, old number 7. It still takes it when you chase it with the Coca-Cola. Make them wish they could erase it out the Motorola. I told her, no credit, fall back. If you want what they got, then go get it, it's all gap. Only in America could you find a way to earn a healthy buck and still keep your attitude on self-destruct. I sell rhymes like dimes. The one who mostly keep cash but tell about the broke times. Joker rhymes like the issue just happy to see me trick. Classical slapstick, rappers need chapstick. A lot of them sound like they ain't a talent show, so I give them something to remember like the Alamo. Tally-ho, high joker like Space Game. Came back from 5 years lane, stayed the same, same. Electromagnetic field will block all logic. Spock and G-Shock a biological clock. When I hit it, slid it to the shit, I thought I killed a goose. Her power use was pure brittle water filter juice. Keep a pen like a fiend, keep a pipe with him. Gentleman who lent a pen to a friend, write with him. Never seen this shit again, but he's still my dunny. Only thing that come between us is krillin' money. We sell rhymes like dimes. The one who mostly keep cash but tell about the broke times.
Stop. boss again. Yes, 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 y'all. Don't stop. Keep on. To the break of dawn. Say what? Yeah. You thought the song was over. You thought the song was over. Doom, cool bop love.
All right, we're back, and that after that long sprawling outro, it just cuts off abruptly. That's I'll fix that up in post.
All good hip hop does that.
it probably leads into the next track.
That's why they don't. That's why there's not many hip hop radio stations. We don't know how to end the song, get to the right one. It's going to stop abruptly.
Yeah, so if you want to help us get better fade outs, you can you can contribute to the local FM fund drive. We're looking to raise $3,000 this year, and that goes towards the station's budget. It costs like $100,000 to run this thing every year, and so some of the big projects that they're looking to raise money for is the distortion. Paper. It's they have community submissions, and it's available for next to no cost. And it's kind of I didn't know that this existed until I started reading this. I'm gonna have to look around the station and find one. But they've got local writers, poets, burgeoning journalists. So anybody that doesn't want to come on the radio, there's another way to get their voice out. Also looking for money for their collectives. They've got the Femme Corps going for advocating gender and sexual equality in St. John, and we've got the Spoken Word Collective, which I should probably be part of that thing. Provide an alternative to commercial corporate-owned news outlets in St. John, providing news coverage for communities that would go unheard on commercial news stations and newspapers. Also, live in-studio sessions for young musicians at no cost, and equipment in general. They've been doing, they've been recording live bands in the other room. That's on that live from local FM CD that you can get with your donations. Looking to do more youth engagement. They have summer camps. They bring people into the radio station and show them how to do stuff like that, and all kinds of workshops that they want to put on. So that's some of the stuff that they're looking for money for. So it's for a good cause, and who doesn't want a local FM fanny pack? Come on.
Oh, my God. It'd be great for you when you want to become a professional wrestler and you need to carry your prescriptions through the airport. It's the perfect thing. And then you support your local radio, and your pills are right where you need them, by your balls. So.
Big enough for those gigantic plastic containers of legal weed that you can get
exactly.
From,
just carry your weed around. And, fanny packs are making a comeback now, thanks to the legalized weed.
So you're a smoker, right?
Yeah. I've been doing edibles a lot more than smoking in the last like 6-7 months or
so. Do they have edibles in the Nova Scotia shops?
No, they don't. But when you buy your, like, if you ask them, like, what about edibles? They go, not yet, but feel free to make some yourself. They're very like, do what you want. Like, we have capsules, but I haven't tried them yet. It's weird because, like, I was going to buy a bottle of these capsules, but they're like 10 milligrams per capsule. But, like, when I eat an edible and I want to get, like, to the level I'm at, I take about anywhere from 75 milligrams and above, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to take, like, 8 pills just to get stoned. That seems like addiction. That's like, that's where it's really
just a
problem.
Big mouthful of pills.
It's just like, I just want to have fun tonight on, like, mouthful of. But then I was like, maybe if they're not putting food, they're like, they hit you harder or
you wouldn't have to digest all the other stuff around.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, I might still get them and try them just to see, see what they're like.
So, do you know, is the edibles thing, is that just a, like, we don't want to encourage kids to get high by eating gummy bears type thing?
No, I think it's, and I think I've heard the official statement on this, is that they just, they want to get all the, like, regulations into place when it comes to food handling and say, like, all those sort of stuff they would do with anybody that's baking anything and selling it as a product.
Right.
But, I mean, I buy that as an explanation, but what I don't buy is, like, those already exist for people that want to make food and sell them. So why aren't we just saying, hey, if you want to start making your edibles, as long as you pass this, like, government regulation, and you can find a distributor that wants to buy them, like,
just break out the rum cake legislation and do a coffee, find a replace. But yeah, everybody's complaining about it here. Is everybody complaining about it in Nova Scotia too?
Yeah, but that's just because that's all we do. That's all people do is we don't complain. Complain we don't have something, we get it, then we complain that we got it and it's not the way we wanted it. It's like, it's brand new, it'll work itself out, and if you don't like it, just go buy your weed from the guy that you always bought it from before.
Yeah, I was thinking like the dealers would probably go out of business once the store's open, because I would rather go to a store myself, but from what I hear, like, I don't want to, yeah, it is a lot of plastic, and from what I hear, it's all kind of dried out and super expensive. But I think New Brunswick might be the most expensive in the, in the country.
Yeah, well, price for me, it wasn't really that big of an issue, because I never buy huge quantities anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm buying weed, I'm going to get, like, 2, maybe 3 grams at a time.
Yeah.
And same
Yeah, I would buy, like, 0.5 ounces back in the day just to have the stock, because you don't know if, like, when you run out, if your guy's going to have any. Not.
Yeah.
If you can just go down to the store, then there's no need to stockpile it.
You can buy, like, I like the fact that, like, tonight, if I mean, even though I have my own stuff with me, but let's just say I didn't, I could go into your store and buy, like, a couple, if all I wanted was, like, something to smoke for the night, I could buy a couple pre-rolls.
Yeah.
And just, you know, take them with me, like, you know.
Yeah, and I think if I come back to it, I think that's, like, if I can get to, like, last night with Standing, I was never a big drinker, but, you know, I didn't smoke a lot of weed, but it was pretty much every day a little bit. But I think if I could approach it from more of a, like, hey, I'm going out to a show tonight, I'm going to get a pre-roll, and just that's what I'm going to have, that'd probably be okay. But, and, you know, I probably could start doing that right now, but I want to give it a bit more time to even out. I think I want to give it like a year before. But you know, who knows, if I'm having a night some point and somebody hands me something, maybe I'll cave. But I don't think I'll get like back into it. It'd be really hard to hide it, like, from, I've blabbed about it on the radio constantly, so I'm too stubborn to completely fall off the wagon. And my wife is going to be like, so I notice you've been getting high in the basement every day for the past 2 weeks.
No, I haven't. No. But yeah, I'm just happy that it's legalized for, like, little things that you don't, you know. I did a road show the other week, and, you know, the audience before the show going, we can go outside the restaurant, smoke a joint, come back in and watch the show, and nobody cares anymore. Like, that to me, I'm like, yeah, nobody does. Knock yourself out. Like,
yeah, and it's good that, you know, people don't need to hide it anymore.
Yeah.
My sister's in town, and she was down. My dad drove her to the weed store in Fredericton the other day, and he doesn't smoke. He said he tried it in college. I know my mom did. She probably bullied him into it at some point, but he went in with her. He just wanted to look around. Like, my dad always gave me a hard time about it, but my dad's main concern was he thought that, like, the police were just going to kick in his door and, like, because I've got a bag of weed in my sock drawer or something, and just raid the house. So at least that, he doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
I, you know, it's funny because I remember years ago, I was hanging out with my dad one night. We were having some drinks, and my dad, like, looked at me and he goes, hey, man, like, we're in Bridgewater where I'm from, and he goes, you don't know anybody in town that could. And we're in his apartment, and he looks back and forth. Get some grass. And I'm like, first, nobody calls it grass anymore. Secondly, we're in a 2-bedroom apartment. It's just me and you. Like, do you think I'm a narc? Am I going to bust you and be like,
they've got it bugged. But yeah, that's good. And, you know, it is annoying. Like, you know, some people are stupid about it. Like, I think I mentioned on last week's show that on Wednesday, on the legalization day, I was driving down the street on the west side, and at 8 a.m. there's some idiot standing in his driveway saluting passing cars with a smoking bong. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's just stuff like stuff like that. People like, oh, yeah, it's legal now, and they're just driving down the street. Well, no, you can't just drive down the street and smoke it. It's like a beer. You can't drink a beer in your front seat. Like,
yeah, and I was kind of surprised. Like, at work, we didn't hear anything from HR. I figured there'd be some sort of communication, and they're like, well, we already have a policy that you're not allowed to be at work intoxicated, so it's the same thing. I just forwarded an email out to all the guys that work for me and be like, I hope this goes without saying, but it's legal tomorrow. You can't be high at work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, when I checked into the hotel yesterday, I was expecting some sort of like extra announcement or maybe like a leaflet that said, remember, just because it's legalized, you can't smoke in your room, right? But they didn't. And I was like, that's kind of weird. I'm like, well, no, you can't smoke anything in your room. They just assume if you're responsible and you know.
Well, that's not like, a good assumption to make. Some people are stupid.
Yeah, that is true. And then they get a $300 charge on their credit card for doing it. So.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like you're hearing the stories about like you get stopped at the border and they're going to know like that you bought. And I don't know why our country would allow people's like credit card records to be sold to the or to be sent to the border.
Yeah,
like protect us. Come on. But yeah, I think probably most people are paying cash anyway, just to be safe.
I paid with my debit when I bought it the first day. And all it says on there is NSLC, but that's like, I don't know what your guys' receipts would say because they appear to be separate stores.
Yeah. Are yours built right into the liquor store?
Yeah, they're built right in. Well, we have one that's a separate store and the rest are all built into.
Because I thought that, like when they were first talking about it, I thought they wanted to completely separate the two things because they didn't want them to be mixed.
They do. That's the thing. They do. But they say that. And when you go into a liquor store that has weed and liquor, you can't buy them both at the same time. Like you have to pay for one at one counter and then you have to like pay for your beer at another counter. Which is just like,
weird.
Yeah, it's just so they can say, see, it's separate and we're not encouraging mixing it. I'm like, yeah, but you can pick it all up basically under the same roof.
Like I smoked more than I drank and I could count before, except when I was quitting, I could probably count like on my fingers how many times I've been drunk without also being high.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
And, I drink less when I'm smoking because your tolerance goes down. But I don't know. That's we're shutting out the potential market for, like, THC-infused alcohol drinks, but that's probably asking
for
trouble.
Well, one of the ones that annoyed me is, like, the one of the conservative leaders federally said, like, the names of the different types of weed are enticing to children. And I'm like, yeah, but the liquor store sells Heinz root beer alcohol, cream soda alcohol, just to name two. You think those aren't enticing to children? If we're making that argument, right? Like, pop is just as enticing as saying marshmallow flush or whatever the hell you're going to call the weed, right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and, you know, the marketing is marketing, and stoners have or similar interest to children. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're both operating in the same mental capacity when we're stoned. So.
Yeah, so fun drive. Some things that we've raised money for in the past. We upgraded our space. We've got a new mixing board here on the pre-record. It's not going to sound as bad as some of my previous pre-records. It costs a lot of money, so they got to fix mics and headphones and the record player maintenance and all that stuff. They helped introduce a digital music service. They revamped their website. They hosted the National Campus and Community Radio Conference in June 2015. Last year, the Fun Drive money, it allowed them to set up the studio so live bands could come in and play live on the air, or they're gonna start giving people opportunity to use the space to cut demos and all that stuff, save some money. So pledge away, 648-5925, or come to the station or localfm.ca/donate. Let's play another quick song, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. Let's go with some down Stained Glass Cross on St. John Forward Radio.
Was the end, was the right?
And back on St. John Forward Radio, we're in the home stretch. Yeah. Andrew Vaughn's here from Halifax. Mm-hmm. I haven't been down there in a while. What's going on? Last time, I think we had an extended conversation when I was on your show, and that was after all the big controversy from the podcast that you did.
I don't even remember the big controversies. I have so many of them, just one after another. And
this was the trans
thing. Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That one was not a good one.
Has that settled down, or has there been more battles?
I've never heard anything else back from it. It was like one of the most stressful times of my life, because it's like I was having to defend jokes that were, to a point, heralded by many people of the LGBT community, telling me that they were, you know, very sensitive jokes and that they were handled with respect, and then one little thing gets said on a podcast,
just
a throwaway, and then a bunch of stuff that I didn't even say gets attributed to me, and then all of a sudden I'm the worst person in the world.
Yeah,
like a lot of the stuff that they were mad about, Manolis said from Hamilton, Manolis Zontanos, like, but they said I said it in the paper because they were a terrible paper, and then I had to take all this shit for it.
I think it's just, it doesn't matter what you say, it's the topic. Like I've got a trans set that I think is right-minded, but I'd still be I'd second guess myself if there was a trans person sitting in the front row. Yeah. I don't know how they would respond to it, but
my whole thing.
I don't have anything against trans people, so I assume that comes through in the material, even if I'm being a little bit ignorant. And most of the time, anything that would be offensive in that joke is, aren't I stupid for having this dumb thought?
Yeah, I did a Yuck Yuck show a couple months ago in Halifax, like a weekend. And the door person at the time came up to me, and there was an obvious lesbian couple in the front row. And
like
she
obvious,
was,
they were like scissoring or something.
Yeah, they were fingering each other and stuff. No, just like one of them looked like a 12-year-old boy, and the other one looked like a woman, and they were holding hands. And she was like, she's like, after my set, she's like, oh, I'm glad they didn't complain. I thought like they might have some issue with some of your material. And it really upset me because nothing in my set is anti-gay at all, right?
Well, that's condescending to just like get offended on I could handle it, but these people, they might be offended.
Yeah, and I just told her, is like, and I'll tell anybody this, if I'm ever on a show and somebody complains about the content of a joke, ask them to talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I won't tell that joke on stage if I don't think it's coming from the right place, and I can tell you exactly where it's coming from. I won't say something on stage that's completely hateful because it's not who I am. It's not what I want to do with my time. I'm not there to like crap on groups and make them feel bad about themselves. I'm there to make you laugh.
If we're crapping on anybody, it's ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I make fun of me way more than I make fun of anything on there. Yeah.
And there's people of all stripes and shapes and colors that have no sense of humor.
Yeah. So it's not limited to one person.
So you put out a comedy album, Too Fat to Go Karts.
Yeah. Last November, actually. Yeah. So almost a year ago.
How's that? Is it tearing up the charts?
Oh, it's good. I've been getting lots of money from it, which is nice. So,
I bought it, and then I realized I could have listened to it for free on Spotify.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I actually haven't made any money practically off of Apple or Spotify.
Yeah.
I get the reports, and I'm like, ooh, those 5 cents per album, 10 cents per album, 15 cents per album. But I've been getting Sound Exchange money because bits have been airing on SiriusXM. So
cool.
That's kind of nice. Like every little while, a little bit. And then I blow it like a rock star. I'm like, here's a grand. Let's just party.
All right. Well, we're wrapping up. Do you have anything else you want to plug? You got a newish podcast?
Yeah, just check us. Me and Travis Lindsay and sometimes Dan Hendricken do our own podcast. It's called The Boys Club Podcast. We record every Tuesday. We're going live every Tuesday here in a month, so you'll be able to tune in on the internet and listen to us live, and also catch it on a podcast stream.
Cool.
Other than that, Too Fat to Go Kart. I'm at Chuckles tonight, and that's
This will air on Monday.
Chuckles. So get in your time machines, come back, and see awesome set. So
yeah. Come see him again.
Yeah, I'll be back for sure.
Yeah, so I've got, I guess, Friday at O'Leary's, No Jokes Bar Deluxe, which I'm thinking of maybe a name change. I might call it like Uptown Comedy Deluxe, try to capture some of that audience, but we'll see.
Could you find a way to use the Yuck Yucks letters in your title and then like uppercase those letters all?
Yeah, that would be, that's a good idea. All right, so yeah, that's all I've got. This one, I don't know. Our bar is going to be on the third Saturday of the month. I got nothing else going on, so we'll wrap it up. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
And everybody, empty your wallets into local FM because it's fun drive time. So 648-5925, leave a message. Tell them that it's on behalf of this show and how they'll get the money. Don't just say, hey, I'm giving you $10 and hang up and they don't know who you are. Easiest way is probably localfm.ca/donate. But yeah, and there's more information on there about everything. I'm not going to repeat it. That's the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Live every, well, this is pre-recorded, but it goes out live most of the time on Mondays 9 to 10 here on Local FM. It's been great having an actual radio show, and it's also a podcast, too, for people that aren't attached to a radio at a certain hour every week. But check it out. We need your money. They're doing good things here. So that's the show. Thanks for listening.
This week is Local 107.3 FM's annual fund drive, where we raise funds to keep the Port City's best Canadian music on those airwaves. You can check out localfm.ca/donate to check out our pledge incentives, like our new Local FM fanny pack and mugs. Call in any time to donate at 648-5925. And don't worry, you'll still be able to get all our cool pledge incentives. Once again, that's 506-648-5925. And thank you from all of us at Local 107.3 FM.